We're going to be looking today at the fact that pride, and Christians do have pride just like non-Christians do, and your pride can blind you to the things that God wants you to be able to see. We're going to look at Samson, one of the men listed in Hebrews chapter 11. And if you're not familiar with Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews 11 mentions many of the great people of faith in the Old Testament, names them by name. And it may surprise you that Samson is one of those men. Some of the things he did were outstandingly good, and some of the things he did were shockingly bad. And so we're going to look at his life and see why he went from doing shockingly good to doing what was shockingly bad. And it was pride. I'll give you a hint. So we're going to stand right now and honor God as we read Judges chapter 16, starting in verse 1. One day, Samson went to Gaza, where he saw a prostitute. He went in to spend the night with her. The people of Gaza were told, "Samson is here." So they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the city gate. They made no move during the night, saying, "At dawn, we'll kill him." But Samson lay there only until the middle of the night. Then he got up, took hold of the doors of the city gate, together with the two doorposts, and tore them loose, bar and all. He lifted them to his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, "See if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength, and how we can overpower him, so we may tie him up and subdue him. Each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me the secret of your great strength, and how you can be tied up and subdued." Samson answered her, "If anyone ties me with 7 fresh bowstrings that have not been dried, I'll become as weak as any other man." Then the rulers of the Philistines brought her 7 fresh bowstrings that had not been dried, and she tied him with them. With men hidden in the room, she called to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." But he snapped the bowstrings as easily as a piece of string snaps when it comes close to a flame. So the secret of his strength was not discovered. Then Delilah said to Samson, "You made a fool of me. You lied to me. Come now, tell me, how can you be tied?" He said, "If anyone ties me securely with new ropes that have never been used, I'll become as weak as any other man." So Delilah took new ropes and tied him with them. Then with men hidden in the room, she called out, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." But he snapped the ropes off his arms as if they were threads. Delilah then said to Samson, "All this time you've been making a fool of me and lying to me. Tell me, how can you be tied?" He replied, "If you weave the 7 braids of my head into the fabric on a loom and tighten it with a pin, I'll become as weak as any other man." So while he was sleeping, Delilah took 7 braids of his head and wove them into the fabric and tightened it with a pin. Again she called to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." He woke from his sleep, pulled out the pin from the loom with the fabric. Then she said, "How can you say I love you when you won't confide in me? This is the 3rd time you made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength." With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was sick to death of it. So he told her everything. "No razor has ever been used on my head," he said, "because I've been a Nazarite dedicated to God from my mother's womb. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me and I would become as weak as any other man." When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, "Come back once more. He's told me everything." So the rulers of the Philistines returned with the silver in their hands. After putting him to sleep on her lap, she called for someone to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. Then she called Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He awoke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. But he didn't know the Lord had left him. Father God, help us to learn from Samson's pride the huge price we're going to pay if we walk in pride of our own heart. And Father, we'll give you the praise today in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. All power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. That was said by Lord Acton years ago. Some people have observed people like Hitler and like Napoleon who have committed shameful actions in the desire for absolute power. Nations have committed atrocities against nations because they wanted absolute power. Folks, it's so important as we read the text today, we're going to read about a man, Samson, who had great power. That power was not his own. That power was given to him from God. God said before Samson was ever born what he was going to do. It's extremely important you understand every gift, not only that Samson got, but every gift you've got. All of us in this room have natural gifts given to us at our physical birth that God gave to us. Some of it came from a grandpa who was a great artist. Some of it came from a grandma who was a pretty good singer. Some of it came from an aunt or an uncle or somebody in the family. And that particular gift became yours because God weaved you together in your mother's womb in such a way that you got those gifts from those different people in your ancestry. Then at your spiritual birth, the day you received Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Lord also gave you spiritual gifts, things that He's allowed you to do and be able to do for His glory. Maybe you can teach a Sunday school class. Maybe you can sing beautifully like Dave and the gals up here playing and do instruments. Maybe you can cut the grass. Maybe you can do whatever you can do. But our problem comes when, like Samson, we forget that all the gifts we have came from God. It's not that we're special. It's that God made us uniquely for His glory. And as long as we give that glory to God, everything's going to be just fine. But when we begin to take the glory for ourselves and forget who gave it to us, we're going to wind up the same way Samson's going to wind up in our story. So back in the 1950s, when I was a little boy, one of my superheroes came into the comic book land. It was Superman. All at once, he was on television. And I don't know if you remember, the caption that was there, if you were that age, some of you are not, but he was faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound, able to change the course of mighty rivers and bend steel in his bare hands. Now, I don't think Samson could do all that, but Samson was the strongest man of his time. He was the Arnold Schwarzenegger of that time, or whoever you think about as being a mighty man of power. He single-handedly protected the people of Israel from the Philistines. Single-handedly, the Philistines feared him so much, they were willing to pay Delilah. We talked about the silver they were going to give her. Today, in our economy, that silver would be worth about $80,000 today, just to find out the secret of his strength, so that they could subdue him. Samson was not a man to be messed with, but he was a problematic hero. All the comic books I ever read about Superman, all the shows I ever saw about Superman, he was always decent, moral. But Samson, although God gave him strength beyond any mortal man almost on this earth, he had some sins that he never got past. He really thought, because I'm so strong, I can do anything that I want to do. It's amazing. The Lord over and over talked in His Word about coming upon Samson, and Samson would do some great work. And then later on, the Lord would come upon him again, And it's wonderful when that happened, but Samson slept with a prostitute one night, and then he fell in love with Delilah, and he probably slept with her too, and that's how she was able to get the information she needed. Folks, Samson was a very important person, but he was not impervious to pride. Pride is a destroyer of so many lives, and most people think, well, I have a right to be proud. I've got this ability, and I can do this, and I can do that. The Bible makes it very clear where your abilities come from. And it's not from yourself. It's not just from your parents. It's from the Lord. We see families that have children. One or two are extremely bright and extremely talented and really good at sports, but those same two parents have children that have mental problems, emotional problems, all kinds of problems. You say, what's the difference? It's the Lord. He determines who's going to get what and how it's going to work out. We don't like that. We'd like to be in charge ourselves. We'd like to say every child we're going to have is going to be just like us. But that's not the way it works. God is in charge of that. Samson was almost impervious to pain. Pain didn't bother Samson. You could hit him if you wanted to, and he'd just keep coming at you. Samson, he could do whatever he wanted to. He was the strongest man of his time. In fact, he became so important and powerful that it went to his head. We see over and over that power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. The more gifted you are, the more careful you must be. Because Satan loves to use pride against you. He'll tell you what a great person you are, how talented you are, how important you are. And it's all set up to make you fall. If you let it go to your head and you stop giving the glory to God, pride does go before a fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction. And we're going to look at that verse in just a minute. But before Samson got with the prostitute, before Samson got with Delilah, we're going to look at three different verses that are going to show us when Samson did all of his great works. It wasn't because of his natural strength. God came upon him and gave him supernatural strength. Now, Samson was very strong in himself, no doubt about it. But when God came upon him, it was unbelievable. In Judges 14, verse 6, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him, so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands." He didn't have a hammer. He didn't have a sword. Bare hands. He's ripping a lion apart. With his bare hands, as he might have torn a young goat. But he told neither his father or his mother he had done it. He kept it to himself. No pride here. Wonderful. We move forward. Judges 15, verse 14. As he approached Lehi, the Philistines came toward him shouting, and the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. The ropes of his arm became like charred flax, and the bindings dropped from his hands. Finding a fresh jawbone of a donkey, he grabbed it and struck down 1,000 men. Then Samson said, "With a donkey's jawbone I've made donkeys of them. With a donkey's jawbone I've killed 1,000 men." Now, I don't know about you, but if 1,000 men are coming at me with swords and spears and all kinds of stuff, I don't expect to win, especially not with the jawbone of a donkey. But God came upon him, and Samson won. One more verse, Judges 14, 19. Then the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. He went down to Ascalon, struck down 30 of their men, stripped them of everything, and gave the clothes to those who had explained the riddle. Burning with anger, he returned to his father's home. But after he slept with the prostitute, you never again see God coming upon Samson with extreme power. Our sin separates us from God. Our sin and our pride also takes away the power of God in our lives. And that's exactly what happened to Samson. He had great natural strength. He was a stronger man than most. But when he did those great works for God, it was because the Spirit of God came upon him, and gave him that strength. And because he had that strength, he began to feel he didn't need to obey God anymore. He didn't need to consult God. He didn't need God really around because he was Samson. Samson became blinded by his pride. I want to give you two verses out of the book of Proverbs that you really probably should jot down, and you ought to memorize them. Proverbs 11:2 says, "When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom." Solomon was known throughout his whole society as a man who loved God, who had his strength from God, who did great exploits for God. What do you think the people thought about him when they knew he went into a prostitute's house? What does that do to a man's testimony? What happened when he got this girlfriend, Delilah, and everybody knows that Delilah's a two-timer? Everybody knows Delilah's trying to use this guy, but he's not bright enough anymore to figure it out. When somebody wants to know why you're so successful, folks, why do they want to know that? They're going to use it against you. When you say, "I'm successful because the Lord has blessed me," they can't use that against you. But when you tell them more intimate things about what God's doing in your life, they can use that against you. You need to be careful. When somebody wants to know where your strength comes from, or your handsomeness, or your beauty, or whatever it is, you give the glory to God. You won't get a proud head. You won't make all these stupid mistakes because it was stupid what he did. After about the second or third time, or if we're wanting to know, how can I tie you up, something ought to go on in our mind. But because of his pride, Satan was able to blind his mind. He couldn't think right. Folks, this is obvious what's going on here. In Proverbs 16, verse 18 is the second one. You really ought to get down. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Do you suppose Samson knew he shouldn't be with a prostitute? Do you suppose Samson should have known Delilah was trying to use him? Folks, common sense would tell you that. But even a Christian, when you walk in sin, you're going to lose your common sense. I've said this a million times, and I'm going to say it till I'm done here. Sin will make you stupid. All of us think we're pretty bright, we're pretty good with it. But you just walk in sin for a while, and you will do things you never thought you would do again. Sin takes you down. Proverbs 22:4 is my memory verse for next week. This is the one I'm going to be memorizing for next week. Every week I try to learn one more new verse. Now, I can't keep them all, but I try to keep the ones that are key. But this is a great one. Humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. When we say humility is the fear of the Lord, what are we saying? We're saying that reverential awe for God and who he is and what he's done. What he knows everything. Where he is everywhere. His power is beyond anything Samson ever knew. God is the one that's spinning this earth at 1,000 miles an hour right now. God is the one that's taking this earth around the sun at 1,000,000 miles an hour. It's not me, it's not you, it's not any person. God, he's got all the power. And once we honor him for who he is, it'll keep us humble. We won't be bragging because I can lift 350 pounds and I can press it over in the air, 350 pounds. Whoa, what a guy. What does God hold in the air? How many pounds does this earth weigh? How many pounds does the sun weigh? He does it all. And so that'll keep us humble. It doesn't matter if you hit a hole in one. It's no big deal. It doesn't matter if you can slam dunk it 100 times in a game. It's not a big deal. Is it fun? You bet it's fun. But it's not a big deal because God is so much more. And when we walk in that humility, the blessings, I want to read that one more time for you. Humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. When I saw that one in the Bible last week, I said, boy, I got to get that down. That's an important verse, folks. Not humility is the start of this. Humility is that reverential awe for God. Samson lost it. He really thought he was the one doing all this stuff. He was the one that everybody ought to follow. And it blinded him. So what can teach us from Samson's life? That we too can be blinded when we lose our humility and we start to think again, it's all because of me, it's all about me. That's what Samson did. He said, these people in Israel are free because of me. Nobody else can stand up to the Philistines like I can. The people of Israel are free because of my strength. No, his strength came from God. I heard of a church a while ago, once had a rich and powerful elder among their members. He was highly respected and he was highly regarded in the community. But the pastor found out that he was sleeping around. And so the pastor threw him off the elder board. When the preacher moved on to a new church, the church brought that rich elder back in and made him an elder again. As time went on, there was financial trouble in the church, and so the elder that was rich and powerful went to see the treasurer, who was another elder in the church, and found out he had two sets of books for the church, one that he recorded for the church recording and one that he recorded as he was skimming money off. Well, the elder didn't want the church to know and people in the community to know that his church had an elder that was robbing people. So that elder took the books and burned them, but people found out. Remember the Bible says, beware, your sin will find you out? They found out, and they had a church split over that. And for 20 years, the church that split off never had elders again. Folks, sin in the church, pride in the church, can split the church. It can split your family. It can ruin your job or your education. So we need to be careful. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote 2 Corinthians 12, verse 5. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. How many people you ever heard boast about their weaknesses? I'm a liar. I've been a liar 20 years now. I just can't control that. We don't boast about that, do we? But the Apostle Paul says, even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I'd be speaking the truth. But I refrain so no one will think of me more than is warranted by what I do or say. Or because of these surpassingly great revelations, therefore in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest upon me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. I have made a fool of myself, but you drove me to it. I ought to have been commended by you, for I'm not in the least inferior to the super apostles, even though I'm nothing. I persevered in demonstrating among you the marks of a true apostle, including signs, wonders, and miracles. How were you inferior to other churches except that I never burdened you? Forgive me this wrong. Now I'm ready to visit you for the third time, and I'll not be a burden to you, because what I want is not your possessions, but you. After all, children should not have to save for their parents, but parents for their children. Folks, it's so important we understand, when God allows a problem in your life, instead of complaining and arguing and bickering with God, Lord, if you loved me, you wouldn't do this. The Apostle Paul, three times, whatever this thorn in the flesh was, it caused great torment to him. He said, take it away. The Lord said, no, I'm not going to take it away. Because this is to keep you humble. Folks, we need trouble sometimes. I know I don't like trouble either. I wish life could just be wonderful all the time and everything just flow. But from time to time, we need to be brought back down to earth to realize we're not in charge. It isn't our strength, it isn't our wisdom, it isn't our abilities. It's God that makes the difference. And God will humble you if you'll seek it. There are times in life you need to seek it because it'll save you great misery in the future. Someone said, true humility does not mean thinking less of yourself. It means thinking less about yourself and more about God. Folks, instead of thinking what a great person I am, I need to be thinking what a great God I serve. There was once a famous godly woman named Corrie ten Boom. Corrie ten Boom was a great woman of God. She was a prisoner of war during the Second World War. Her and her sister held Bible studies in those prison camps, all kinds of things. But after the war, Corrie ten Boom began to go around Europe teaching peace to the people that don't keep hating the Germans and so on. And she really helped the European continent come back to peace with God and with each other. Well, Corrie ten Boom had a friend named Jill Briscoe. And Corrie ten Boom said, Jill, people thank me so much. And it used to worry me because I didn't want to get a big head. So I began to collect those compliments like flowers. Thank you, I'd say. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Then at the end of the day, I'd kneel down and I'd say, here, Jesus, these are all yours. She presented all the thanks she got as a bouquet to the Lord. Folks, if you can keep doing that, if you can keep passing the honor that you get for what God has gifted you to do to the Lord, it's going to continue being wonderful. But as soon as you say, yep, yep, I'm quite a guy, you're going down. Satan is going to use that against you, and it's going to destroy your life. So, instead of leaning upon God and giving him thanks for the giftedness we get, sometimes we like to take credit for ourselves. And that's what Samson started to do. He started to take the credit. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7, it says, who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? People who are super smart in college sometimes get a big head. I don't know why everybody can't be like me. Because God didn't make everybody like you. People who are super strong and have a great physique, all you have to do is exercise like I did. I exercised hard when I was young, and I never got big. It just didn't happen. I didn't have the physique to put on the muscle. I had some strength, but I never got like Hulk Hogan or any of the rest of those guys. And then you find out later, what was Hulk Hogan doing to get the size that he got? He was taking steroids. Folks, don't envy somebody that's got something you don't have. It might come back to curse you. Hulk Hogan maybe could have lived longer had he not used the steroids. It's okay not to be a superhuman being. It's okay to be a normal person. 2 Corinthians 4:7, it's interesting. 1 Corinthians 4:7 and now 2 Corinthians 4:7. We have this treasure, whatever treasure you have, whatever abilities, whatever savings, whatever anything, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Do we think clay is a pretty cool thing? Clay's okay if you want to make a pot, but if you want to make something that really lasts, use steel or something like that. Folks, clay is perishable. That's what we are. I worked with some machine repairmen in the shop that said, man, when I go, I feel bad for this place. Nobody can fix that machine but me. And guess what? Either they died or they got old and they retired, and the next week somebody was fixing that machine that they thought nobody else ever could. Folks, you are not, and I say this kindly because I love every one of you, you are not indispensable. You are dispensable. You're going to live 60, 70, 80, maybe 90, possibly 100, but you are expendable, and you are going to expend. You're not going to be here all the time. That's why so many people get so caught up in this world, they just can't get by without me. I got to be busy, 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 busy. Folks are going to get by without you just fine. Enjoy life. God says He's given us richly all things to enjoy. Now, we want to be busy serving the Lord, but don't make it everything, because when you're gone, somebody else is going to step in your spot. It's wonderful to know that. A young preacher was pleased that a woman in his congregation was always telling him how much she enjoyed his sermon. Could she have a copy? And the pastor, wow, that's nice. Not only did she enjoy it, she wants a copy. So his pride got to him after about a month of that. And he finally said, I just want to tell you how much I appreciate that you really enjoy my sermons and you always want a copy of my sermon. And she said, oh, yes. She said, I have to have a copy. He said, why do you like the copy so much? She said, they're just the right size for the bottom of my birdcage. What does that mean was happening to his copies? Folks, don't get too proud, because no matter how much the Lord uses you, it's not you. He works through you, but that giftedness didn't come from you. It came from God. And as long as you keep giving Him the glory, you're going to do just fine. A common misconception about Samson is he lost his power because he lost his hair. Now, they weren't supposed to shave their own hair. If a man was a Nazirite, they were not to shave their own. But if somebody by force would have taken Samson and shaved his hair, he would not have lost his power. The real problem was Samson didn't know God had left him, because Samson was the dummy that deliberately told Delilah exactly how to do it. Folks, you need to be careful here. People are out to destroy you. Some for money, some for power, some want something you've got. We need to be on our guard here. If you're walking in pride, they will use that against you somehow to destroy you. In Judges 16, verse 20, this is the last time. Then she called, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He woke from his sleep, thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. But he did not know the Lord had left him. Folks, that's a terrifying thing. In the Old Testament, God came upon people for service, and then He left them. I praise the Lord, I never have to worry about the Lord leaving me. Jesus said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. We're in New Testament times. The Holy Spirit is within me. Nothing I can do that I have to worry the Lord's going to leave me. He may very well take away some of the blessings because pride goes before a fall, but He won't leave me. Samson wasn't weak because he had had his hair cut. Samson was weak now because God had left him. They came and they pried out his eyes. They put him grinding grain like an ox. So he was still pretty strong, because it takes a lot to move that big stone over that grain. But he'd left God and he learned to rely on his own strength, and it cost him dearly. The story of Samson in our Bible is one of pride and arrogance and seeing where it leads. We need, as God's people, to be very careful here, because your giftedness can lead you to pride. When you start taking the glory for what God has equipped you for, God says, I won't share my glory with anybody. That includes you and that includes me. God wants us to give Him the glory. Somebody says, and I enjoy it too, great sermon, Pastor, this week. It was really nice. I say, thank you very much. But I don't take the glory for myself. As a preacher, I know I'm not the smartest bulb in the pack. I'm not. The Lord equips me, and I praise God for it, but it's not me. It's God living through me, and I praise Him for it. It's a wonderful thing. It says in Judges 16, verse 28, Samson, the story of Samson isn't over after he gets blinded. Samson is going to come to repentance. And this is the important part. Maybe you've been walking in pride and you think, well, it's over. I can't make it right. You can. Samson did. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just once more and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes. Then Samson reached toward the two center pillows on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on the one and the left hand on the other. Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. Then he pushed with all of his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and the people in it. Thus he killed more when he died than while he lived. Repentance brings restoration. We all love and know 1 John 1:9, and I hope you have that by heart. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins, and he'll purify us from all unrighteousness. We had quite a talk in Sunday school. If you missed Sunday school today, sorry, but you missed it. Somebody asked the question, wait a minute, do I really reap what I sow? If God's going to just forgive the sin, then there's no payment. Folks, God has given us another promise. Whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. We don't reap it in eternity. We reap it here and now. So be careful what you're sowing. Solomon thought he was going to get away with it. I want to close today with a story about another hero in our lifetime, at least in my lifetime. Some of you may be too young to remember even that, but how many remember Magic Johnson? Okay, good. Magic Johnson was one of the greatest basketball players of all time. He played for Michigan State, and then he went pro, and he was one of the greats. I mean, he was really good. But Magic Johnson got proud in his achievements, and Magic Johnson began to sleep around. He slept with so many women that in 1991, he came down with HIV. Now, he said it was just women. I'm not going to argue with him. I don't know. I don't know. Usually, HIV was a homosexual disease, but he said he got it from a woman. Maybe a woman got it from another guy. I don't know. But anyhow, Magic Johnson, because he had HIV, a lot of the players on the other teams would not even play because they weren't sure in 1991 exactly how this passed. And so many of the players wouldn't play. So in 1991, Magic Johnson hung up his basketball shoes. He was done with basketball. And we think that's where the story ended, but that's not where Magic Johnson's story ended. Magic Johnson, 36 years later, he's active. He's married. He's got two children. Magic Johnson said on an interview face-to-face with Connie Chung, and he said, I lived the bachelor's life, and I'm paying for it. But then he went on to say, I agree with those who say my lifestyle was morally wrong. I'm not trying to deny it. I'm trying to battle for my life, and the only thing I can ask for is forgiveness. It was my fault. Morally, I was wrong sleeping with a lot of women. I wish it hadn't happened, but it did. All I can do is ask God's forgiveness and leave it in His hands. All I can do is pray a lot. Just like Samson in his day, Johnson suffered bondage and pain because of his sinfulness. Remember, we said you reap what you sow. He did. But just like Samson, Magic Johnson repented. And God wasn't done with Magic Johnson. Today, 36 years later, Magic is not only alive, he's married, got two kids. Every day he works out from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. He lifts weights, he runs, he sprints, and he plays basketball scrimmages. Now he's getting a little older, so it's probably a little slower than it used to be, but he runs a financial empire because God has blessed him after his repentance. He doesn't do it for himself anymore. Magic Johnson is involved, in fact, in Flint, I don't know just when, but within a month or two, there's going to be a big thing Magic Johnson's putting on in Flint because he was very active in the Flint area for the young kids in his community. Magic Johnson today is using his fortune and investing in black businesses all across the country to try to help others come to financial freedom. Folks, he grieved and he mourned over his sins. He repented. I praise the Lord that God, for anybody, maybe you've been walking in pride, I don't know. But if you have, the story's not done. You can come to repentance. You can confess your sin to the Lord, ask Him to forgive you, ask Him to use you in a new way, and guess what? Yours will be the same. In James chapter 4, verse 6, it says He gives us more grace. That's why the Scripture says God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves unto God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Come near to God, and He'll come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve and mourn and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and here's the promise. He will lift you up. He'll use you again, maybe even greater than ever before. At Samson's death, he killed more of the enemies of God than he did in his entire life. So God can still use us. All of us from time to time walk in our pride.
Yep, I did that.
But then we have to come to the humility part. We have to say, I didn't do that. God did that. God's the one who gives me power and strength and wisdom and whatever. Folks, if we'll do that, God will keep using us. All the days of our life will be fruitful. We won't have to suffer some of the things others had. The Bible tells us the reason He gave us the Old Testament is so that we could learn from their mistakes, so that we don't repeat the same stupid stuff. People today are walking in pride, doing the same things that they did in the Old Testament, and wondering, why are things going wrong? That's why it's so important for all of us to be in the Word of God. He warns us, and He warns us, and He warns us. And if we take heed, we're humbling ourselves before the Lord, and He will lift us up too. Father, so grateful for Your Word. Grateful, Lord, that we get to choose. It's our choice to walk in humility or to walk in our pride. Father, help us today to see what happens when we walk in pride, and to see what happens when we turn around and repent and come to You. And Father, we'll give You the praise today in Jesus' holy name. Amen.